Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. All the webs we weave through deception entangle us with unintended consequences. Today, a story from the Bible of a faithful king who failed near the finish line, leaving Israel in a state of war. To learn more, stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. In a series on making the best of a bad decision, Erwin Lutzer comes now to talk with us about what happens when you're in a tangled web.
Let's pray together one more time, shall we? Our Father, there are some people who are listening to this message, who will be listening, who have huge decisions to make. Decisions which, humanly speaking, they will not have the strength to make unless you come. Unless you be the enabler, unless you bring the transformation of heart, unless you grant the grace, they will continue on the path that they've chosen. Would you help us? We are impressed, Father, by the depths of our sinfulness, but also impressed with the depths of your grace. Show us both, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, what a tangled web we weave when first we practice to deceive. Those are the words of Sir Walter Scott. Today we're speaking on the topic of entanglements, the decisions that are involved in the tangled web of human relationships, where you've gone on in a certain pattern, and it appears as if you just can't turn around. I think, for example, of a woman who spoke to Rebecca and me who's involved in the medical community, and she said that she was living with this terrible conscience because in her office, there were illegalities that were happening, which is code for cheating. And she said that this was going on. And of course, we say to her, well, why don't you just become a whistleblower? But she said the situation isn't that simple. It's not that simple because she also has profited from the deceit and the dishonesty. And her boss already told her, if you blow the whistle on us, we're going to hire an attorney and he's going to go after you and we will destroy you. So for her to come clean, it means really her whole life. That's the price she has to pay. I think of those who have committed crimes, or the man that I've told you about in a different context who illegally filled out a form so that he could get workers' comp, saying that the accident happened on the job, and it didn't. It was deceitful. His pastor said, don't you think that you should come clean? He said, what do you think? You think that I'm that stupid? Do I want to go to jail? Or the man who told a lie, he had stolen something, and he called me and said, you know, I've stolen this, and I lied and said I didn't, but if I tell the truth, I'll be fired, and I need the job. Oh, what a tangled web we weave when first we practice to deceive. I may be speaking to someone here, and there's a secret affair that's going on in your life, or a business deal that is very complex, but you've bought into it. You began little by little, and now suddenly the noose is around your neck. And if you were to come clean, goodness knows what would happen. Our story today that we are going to tell is found in the book of 2 Chronicles. I know that the Old Testament is not that familiar to many of us, and you may find it difficult to find 2 Chronicles, but it's there. It's right after 1 Chronicles. And if you want to know where it is on the Pew Bible, I checked it this morning. I think it's page 368. 368. It's the story of an Old Testament king by the name of Asa. Asa was the third king of Judah, and he was born into this world with a very wicked father and a wicked mother. In fact, his mother, the queen mother, apparently was actually sponsoring idolatry, and he had to depose her. He was a courageous king. For 36 years, he followed the Lord fully. Chapters 14 and 15 of 2 Chronicles are just a delight to read. Of course, we'll only refer to a few verses, and you can read the whole story for yourself on another occasion. But Asa, first of all, followed the Lord fully and wholly for those 36 years. What did he do? First of all, when he became king, he took away all of the idols. It says in verse 2 of chapter 14, "And Asa did what was good and right in the eyes of the Lord. He took away the foreign altars, the high places, and broke down the pillars and cut down the Asherim, and commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers, to keep the law and the commandment." You see, what Israel was doing is they were buying into other gods. And they would build these altars on the hills and in different places. And then they'd go, and everybody had his own god and could go to his own idol and his own temple to worship, his own worshiping place, let's put it that way. And Asa said, "Enough already. We're the followers of the true God." And in those days, there was no freedom of religion. So he went and he tore down the idols and he commanded everybody in my kingdom, "Seek the Lord God who brought us here." Something else that happened is that there was a war. The Ethiopians came against him. And it says in verse 11 of chapter 14, "And Asa cried to the Lord his God, 'O Lord, there is none like you to help between the mighty and the weak. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rely on you, and in your name we have come against this multitude. O Lord, you are our God. Let not man prevail against you.'" So the Lord defeated the Ethiopians before Asa and before Judah. Wow. Last night as I was rereading this, I underlined the different places in my Bible where it keeps saying that he sought God. And he asked the children of Israel to seek the Lord. And they began to seek the Lord and to seek his guidance and to seek his strength. That's going to have to be a sermon series sometime in the future, seeking God. You see, the average Christian thinks, well, I found God through Jesus, so I don't have to seek him. Oh, yes. Even though you found God, we must seek him nonetheless, to know him better, to rely upon him with more determination, and to understand his ways. 36 years of following the Lord fully. And chapter 15 has much of the same material. Now, after doing that, we come to another stage in his life, and that is he follows the Lord half-heartedly. Not with a whole heart, but with a half heart. That's chapter 16. In order to understand what happened, I need to give you a little bit of background. Follow this carefully, or else what you are reading might not make a whole lot of sense. Now, here's Asa. He is ruling over the kingdom of Judah, which is headquartered in Jerusalem. Think of your map of Jerusalem. In those days, the kingdom, even though there were all the tribes who were united, they were all the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Even though that was true, the kingdom was split for reasons that I will not explain here, but it's interesting historically as to why it was split. And there was a border just north of Jerusalem, and then there was a king who reigned in the north from a capital called Samaria, which is up across the way from Galilee. And the king of the north, which was called Israel, the south was called Judah, the king of Israel, the king of the north, his name was Baasha. And what Baasha did is he had an agreement with a heathen king by the name of Ben-Hadad of Syria. And therefore, Baasha felt very, very confident. And he began to hassle the border, trying to hassle Asa. And he would build fortifications across the border, and pretty soon he cut off all trade, and he cut off all communication, and people couldn't go from the north to the south. What would we expect Asa, being in Jerusalem, to do? Well, for 36 years, he's done nothing but serve God. He's followed the Lord, and he's called on God to help him. And now, after 36 years of faithfulness, he doesn't. He makes a huge mistake, which results in some entanglements. Notice we're in chapter 16. It says in verse 2, after verse 1 explains what is happening, Baasha, king of Israel, went up against Judah. He built these fortifications. Asa, of all things, how could you do this? He took silver and gold from the treasures of the house of the Lord and the king's house and sent them to Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, who lived in Damascus, saying, "There is a covenant between me and you, as there was between my father and your father. I'm sending you silver and gold. Go break your covenant with Baasha, king of Israel, that he may withdraw from me." And Ben-Hadad listened to the king, Asa. And lo and behold, Ben-Hadad now attacks the one with whom he had a covenant, because he breaks that covenant. He attacks the north. He attacks Baasha. And Asa has his problem solved. That's it. But Asa, how could you do this? Why didn't you consult God? You did it before. God was faithful. Now you not only have a treaty with a heathen king, that's bad enough, but you robbed the treasures of God from the temple. You took the gold and the silver from the temple. You desecrated the temple to buy this guy off and to bribe him into your deal. Asa, what is this? And if we had a conversation with him, he'd say, "Well, I made a deal with the devil until I got across the bridge. I needed to do this given the situation. And you know what? Before you criticize me, it worked, okay?" All right, Asa. Asa crooning with Frank Sinatra, "I did it my way, all right?" Well, my friend, I certainly hope that you tune in next time for Running to Win, as we will continue this message. Because it's important for all of us to understand what really happened to King Asa and the lessons that we can learn from being in a tangled web. Today I'm speaking to you. Perhaps you've made a bad decision. Well, as you know, this is part of a series of messages entitled Making the Best of a Bad Decision. Messages of hope and comfort, because God is there for us no matter how we've blown it in the past. Hope to see you right here next time on Running to Win.
Today, Dr. Erwin Lutzer introduced a message on When You're in a Tangled Web, another in a series on making the best of a bad decision. Next time, more on the curious story of Asa, a man who failed at the finish line. Pastor Lutzer's book, Making the Best of a Bad Decision, will be sent as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Drive, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.